Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Plastic to the limit.
Money isn't everything, Mortimer.
Final demands piling up.
Oh, grow up.
Never-ending loans.
You pay money for this, sir?
Crippling repayments make you feel like there's no end in sight.
On purpose?
I'm Jim Burns, and welcome to Homeward. Today on the program, we're going to talk about how you can experience financial freedom. Well, it's going to take some discipline, and many Americans spend more than they make in any given year. And as a country, we're drowning in a swelling river of credit card and loan debt. My guest today on Homeward is financial expert Ron Blue. Ron is the director of Christian Financial Planners, and he's helped literally thousands of people work their way towards financial freedom. And that's going to help your family in a big way. If you want to stay above the rising waters of debt in your life, then stay tuned to Homeward. It begins right now. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, we are privileged to have Ron Blue with us. We're going to talk about mastering your family's finances. Ron is the president of the Christian Financial Planners, and he sits on the board of directors of Campus Crusade for Christ International, as well as Crown Financial Ministries. He's the author of 12 great books on money. And today, we're going to talk about really a classic book of his that's just been released again called Master Your Money. Ron Blue, welcome to Homeward.
I'm delighted to be with you, Jim. Looking forward to it.
Well, I am so glad that you could be with us today. And I, before the program, told you that you actually caused Kathy and me several years ago to have a fight.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you personally. It was it was over this particular book because I was doing something financial that she didn't think was very good. And she said, well, Ron Blue wouldn't do it this way.
Tell her not to talk to my wife because he might.
Anyway, it was a great experience for us. Why do so many people struggle with money?
Well, there's several reasons for it. One is that we're confronted hourly, minute by minute, with a barrage of misinformation, for one thing, as well as with the advertising world that is designed to tell me the things that I didn't know that I needed.
Right.
And so I think that I think both the financial information that we get and the culture that we live in, and I'm not denigrating the culture, it's just a fact of life, but we're confronted with just bad information constantly, and there's not a lot of good teaching from the pulpit on money and money management, because I think pastors are a little bit afraid of the topic, afraid of being misperceived if they talk about money too much.
I've spent a lot of time helping pastors with their families, and frankly, they have a lot of financial problems themselves.
They do, and I had a CPA friend of mine who did 66 pastors' tax returns out in the Southern California area, and he said that only four were tithers.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Now, that's not to put down our pastors.
No,
wonderful
not at
people.
All. I think
basically,
pastors are confronted with the same thing we are.
Exactly. Basically, people have a lot of financial pressure. In fact, the stress of financial pressure really ranks very high in a person's life and marriage, doesn't it?
Well, it absolutely does. And, you know, money is the one area of the Christian life that you can't fake, because it's revealed in your checkbook.
Interesting. Right.
And it's the area of your life where you really work out your goals and your values and your priorities. So I can tell you something, but my checkbook's going to pretty much reveal whether I really believe it or not.
Isn't that interesting? So basically what you're saying is you show me a person's checkbook and we'll talk about their faith and their priorities anyway, as well as their giving.
And not only that, you can also, if you look through somebody's checkbook, you can figure out where they spend their time.
It's funny, the Lord had some things to say about that in terms of where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That is correct. And, you know, and the interesting thing there is it's not where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that comes first is where your treasure is. Where you put it is where your heart's going to end up.
Now, at the beginning of your book, Master Your Money, you talk about, will I ever have enough? And it seems like in a consumer society, so many of us are saying, when is enough enough to survive as a family?
You know, and there's several ways that you can approach the answer to that question. I find that the greatest challenge that believers have, well, everybody has, it's the lifestyle issue. Kind of, what kind of car, where am I going to live, where am I going to send my kids to school, what kind of clothes am I going to wear? And we can be driven by, of course, peer pressure, and we can be driven by advertising. And it's hard to say this is enough ahead of time. But if you can define how much is enough, I think what will happen is there will be some sense of contentment. And if you don't, you're going to continue to accumulate, or continue to spend until you set those finish lines.
And it's so important to set the finish lines, it seems like, because I was having a conversation with my middle daughter, who needs to read your book. She's in college. We were talking about one of the big conversations that so many people have today is the cell phone bill.
Yeah.
She just couldn't understand. She didn't know what to do. And I said, well, you know, there is an option. You don't have to make as many calls. She looked at me like, Dad, that's not even an option. But it's true.
That is true.
And it seems like that sounds so silly, but it really is the story of the American people today.
It is. But Judy and I have said that we're glad our kids are raised.
Right.
Well, I don't think I'd want to be raising them in today's environment.
Well, it's hard. I mean, that's the reason for Homeward. We're trying to help next generation parents, and they are dealing with issues like cell phone that, you know, my parents sure weren't dealing with. In my world, their kids, we're talking about money, but whether it be internet pornography or so many other things. I said to some 16-year-old kids recently who I was speaking to, I said, I wouldn't want to be your age because of the pressure that they have.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Now, you counsel, and I think this is so fascinating, that we don't really need a lot of money to become, in quotes, wealthy. And you gave an example of a retired pastor in your book that just absolutely blew my mind. Talk about that.
Well, it blew my mind, too. And this was a pastor that his daughter had asked me to meet with him because he had gone into an extended care facility, he and his wife. He was in his 70s at the time. And he wanted to know whether he had enough to live out the rest of his life, basically. And his wife was, it was costing $40,000 a year at this time for his wife to be in there, as well as what he had to spend. And so I said, well, tell me what you have. And to make a long story short, he had well over $2 million, most of it in cash and stocks. And I said, well, where did this come from? And he shared the story with me that he had never made more than $10,000 in his life, and he'd retired at this time about 20 years earlier. And he had saved over a working life about $6,000. And he had called his sister, who was an accountant for a company up in Chicago, to ask her advice on where he should put this $6,000 retirement money. And she suggested that he do something that I would have never suggested, and that was to buy an IPO stock. And it turned out that that company was ServiceMaster. And so ServiceMaster stock went up and split and went up and split and so forth. And he had accumulated about over $2 million at that time. But the interesting, I asked him two questions. I asked him, one, did you ever borrow money? And he said, no. He said, I never felt like I could afford to. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, if you borrow money, you got to pay it back. And he said, I never was in a position where I felt like I could be that presumptive to think that I could pay it back. And the second, I said, what did you learn over the years of living on a really pretty meager salary? He was full-time in the ministry, and he said that God is faithful. He said, we never, ever missed a meal or missed anything because of the way God provided for us. And he went on to share many things with me. And then I said to him, I said, you know, as a financial advisor, I would have to advise you to diversify out of just one stock. It's the only prudent thing to do. And I said, how would you feel if this stock became worthless tomorrow? And his answer was classic. He said, I'd feel like I wasted $6,000 of the Lord's money. He had it together.
He absolutely had it together. I want to take a break. When I come back, I want to talk about something that I think is actually life-changing. It changes marriages. It changes family. I really mean this. The four biblical principles of money management that you created so long ago that I sure have stolen many times when I've spoken on stewardship.
Okay.
We'll take a break. Ron Blue with us today. We're talking about mastering your family's finances. It actually may be one of the most important things that you can do to build connection in your marriage, build connection with your kids, and definitely build a legacy for your family.
Right. When you've got the money thing figured out, then that makes a lot of other things line up, and that doesn't mean that you have to go out and earn a ton of money.
But rather today here on the Homeward broadcast, you're hearing parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and his conversation with Ron Blue, talking about these keys to financial freedom. And Ron is the author of the book Master Your Money and the updated edition that came out a few years ago. And it's always great to have Ron share his insight with us here on the program. Roger Marsh here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Did you know that APU is one of the few Christian colleges or universities in the country to offer a master's degree of social work? That's right. You can learn more about that when you go to homeward.com and hit the APU icon at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But Mom, how did I know that John Jefferson was going to ask me out this weekend?
And I think that's great, Tina, but you've already spent all of your clothing allowance for the month.
But Mom, this is so unfair.
Actually, it's very fair, Tina.
No.
And big date or no big date, there won't be any money for you until the start of next month.
All right. So, can I have an advance on next month's allowance?
Nice try, Tina.
As a parent, the main purpose of our discipline is to teach responsibility, not just obedience. That means consistently helping your kids understand that life involves choices and consequences. As kids understand their actions have consequences, well, they learn to live life properly. Handling money responsibly is a demonstration of one of the key biblical principles I outlined in my tip sheet called 10 Things Every Child Can't Not Know. If you'd like a free copy, you can download it from our website at homeward.com.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're with Ron Blue, Mastering Your Family's Finances. Very important subject. Ron Blue is known by so many as a financial consultant who has really helped them, not just in terms of writing, but personally and through his wonderful organization that's called Christian Financial Planners. He also sits on the board of directors of Campus Crusade for Christ International, Crown Financial Ministries, and so many others. Been just a great influence in the world of faith for so long. Ron, we were talking right before the break about the pastor who had only saved a few $1,000s and yet was able to become wealthy. He was wealthy not just in the eyes of the world with money, but he was wealthy because he had it together in his heart.
He really was. I mean, I've had the privilege of meeting an awful lot of people who are really understand God's ownership. And he understood God's ownership and God's provision.
Right.
And that's the key to financial freedom.
You've developed these biblical principles of money management. In many ways, they're basics, and they're good basics. If we'd follow it, it would work. It was that great theologian Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers who said, when you stray away from the basics, you've gone a long ways to defeat. And when it comes to finances, we've got to stick with basics. I want to throw out the first one. I want you to comment on it. The first one is God owns it all.
Well, that is the basic one, because until you come to grips with that one, you can't even think like a steward. And if you understand that God owns it all, there's just several implications to that. One is that I develop a lifestyle that is generous. I think it's a lifestyle that is joyful and a lifestyle that is humble. And the people that I have had the privilege of interacting with who understand God's ownership, they understand where it came from, and they're just generous, joyful, and humble people, and they're a delight to be around.
In general, we're selfish.
Sure.
We're all sinful, but we're selfish, and that gets in the way to follow that first God owns it all principle, isn't it?
Yeah, let me tell you something. This is not in Master Your Money, but it's something that that God showed me within just the last few months, and that's in Deuteronomy 14, where it talks about the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in Deuteronomy 14, the second half of that chapter, that some of the principles on tithing is that you're supposed to bring the tithe to the place of worship. But if you can't make it, well, incidentally, when you get there, you're to have a party.
Hmm.
That was the purpose of the tithe. And secondly, if you can't get there, then go to another place that God chooses, sell your tithe, be it because it was probably grain or produce or wine or something, and buy whatever your heart desires, and have a feast. And I think that we have this feeling that God wants to discipline me or punish me, and in fact, what he wants me to do is to enjoy everything that he provided for me.
A lot of people do think that, boy, if you're going to tithe, then it's going to be drudgery, and in many ways, it produces freedom and the joy of a party. You're right.
It's the only way to experience financial freedom is to be generous.
Yep. The people I know who have financial freedom, and they're not just rich.
No.
They're people who are generous. Now, your second biblical principle of money management, we are in a growth process. What do you mean by that?
Well, it means that until I die, I'm growing spiritually. And God uses money really three ways in my life to help that process, if you will. One is that he uses it as a tool because he could give me too much or too little. But what he wants me to learn is dependence. He wants me to learn living by faith. He might give me money, again, too little or too much, to test me, to see whether, in fact, I can handle what he's blessed me with. And then I think, thirdly, he gives me money so that I can demonstrate to the world as a testimony as to how God's resources are to be used. It says in Matthew 5 that we're to be salt and light, and money is one of the ways in a culture that does not honor biblical principles of finance. It's a way that I can provide a testimony to the world that this is the way God intended it to be.
It's a tool, it's a test, and it's a testimony.
Right.
That's really good.
All designed to grow me up.
Absolutely. And so often it's the money issue in our lives that, well, it either makes us and helps us grow, or it turns us into somebody that we really don't want to be and turns us into a person who has a lot of problems. It's just amazing.
I wrote Master Your Money. I was probably a little over 40 years old. And today I'm almost 65. And I find that money is still a part of the growth process that God has for me. I don't ever get past it, if you will.
And that's why it's so important for us as Christ followers to put our efforts in doing this thing right, because it's so foundational to our life. Not just our livelihood, but to our entire life.
It sure is.
The third biblical principle of money management, I think this is a tough one for some folks to understand. Why do you say that the amount is not important?
Well, a lot of people think, for example, I will tithe once I have more income. Or I'll become a steward when I have something to be a steward over. But if I'm a college student, or if I'm a teenager, or if I'm a young married, I'm a steward over whatever I have, not over what I might have. And I can't be a steward over something I don't have. So God's interested in my handling his resources for his honor and glory with whatever he's given me, not what he's going to give me.
No. Some are saying, well, as soon as my ship comes in, then I'll start doing it right. Your fourth biblical principle for money management is faith requires action. This seems fairly obvious, but what are some of the barriers to us not actually putting that money to work for us?
Well, let's say that God has convicted me or convinced me that I need to get out of debt and begin paying off my credit card debt. Well, that means I get start paying off my credit card debt. So I can believe that he wants me to do that, but I've got to start it. Or I'm convinced or convicted that God would have me to tithe. Well, I've got to start. So I can understand all this. It's just like having a good marriage, Jim, the stuff that you teach. You know, I might know all of the principles, but I've got to take some action to put it into play. Faith without works is dead, and without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Boy, that is so true. You just said the D word also, debt. Seems to be the biggest problem that I hear from families today. Is all debt bad?
No. In fact, there are legitimate reasons and ways to borrow money. When, however, the banker becomes God, in other words, he provides something that God doesn't provide for me, then I think you're in a tough situation. And I think that the test on debt is you should never be paying your credit cards with less than the full balance on a monthly basis. You should never be paying those minimum payments. It's not only bad steward, it is a really stupid financial thing to do, because you're paying interest at 18% to 20%, and it's non-deductible interest. So you have to earn a significant amount of money just to pay the minimum payments if you're only paying the interest.
Ron, I did have to ask you one more question. We were talking about debt. One of the phrases that you use and that I've used so often in my own ministry is spend less than you make. But that seems to be a problem. We live in such a marginless society. Talk about that principle as we conclude.
Well, I'm asked a lot of times to give a piece of wisdom or counsel or something. And so the one piece of advice that I can give that is transcendent in terms of time, in terms of income levels, in terms of family situations, is you've got to live within your income. So spend less than you earn. The problem is that people, there's only five things you can do with money. You can pay your taxes, you can give it, you can pay off your debt, you can save it, or you can spend it for your lifestyle, which is all of those things that go into where I live and how I live. And most people start with their lifestyle, and they fund it with debt. They have to pay their taxes. Consequently, they can't save or give because they're overspending. So I say, look, figure out what your gross income is. What do you have to pay in taxes? What is your debt obligations? Give. Set aside some to save. And then what's left is available to be spent for the wants and needs that you have. And most people never, ever get there. And consequently, they overspend, they borrow to fund it, and they end up in bondage to both their lifestyle and the debt that is a consequence of that lifestyle. So it's really simple. Live within your income and don't borrow to fund your lifestyle. And you will not go broke if you live within your income. And over the long term, that is the way that pastor became wealthy, was he lived within his income for a working life, and he had some money left at the end.
Very wise words from Ron Blue. Spend less than you make, and your life will be in a different place. Ron,
and do it for a long time, Jim.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Okay. Thanks so much for being with us. Can you come back next time? I've only got about 100 more questions for you.
Okay. I would love to.
Thank you so much. What a great program today. Enjoyed so much having Ron Blue with us.
Very, very practical principles today here on the Homeward Broadcast. You've been listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in his conversation with Ron Blue, the author of the book Master Your Money and the new Master Your Money. And we've been talking about these keys to financial freedom. Dr. Jim Burns writes about this in his book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, as well. Kind of devote some time in that book to those resources and that information. And if you'd like to learn more about how to order a copy of Jim's book and to support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time, go to homeward.com. You purchase any of Jim's books, a portion of the proceeds does go to supporting our ministry if you buy them through homeward.com. So check us out online today and look at that book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, at homeward.com.
Thanks, Roger, and thank you for your prayers for the Ministry of Homeward, because prayer is the foundation of everything we do here. And thanks for your ongoing financial support as well. Your gifts to Homeward make it possible for us to continue to bring help to you and to other families in this area. So thanks for mailing your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. And by the way, if you want to send something in and you don't have a pen or a pencil to write that down, you can always go to our website at homeward.com. You can get the address there. You can actually give a gift online when you log on to Homeward, WORD.com. Recently, I received an email from a listener named Amy. And she wrote, and I really appreciate this, "Dear Homeward, thank you so much for the podcast of your daily program. As a busy mom, I used to be able to listen online, but now that you're podcasting, I can get the programs on my iPod, listen to them in the car while I'm transporting kids. Keep up the great shows and the information that you give to me and so many others. We have heard some funny stories about what people do, from taking a shower to doing their exercise, walking the dog. So anyway, this podcast is a new way for us to be able to give you the message, and it's actually free."
Yeah, one of the things that we've done at homeward.com, Jim, to make it easier for our listeners to take advantage of the podcast opportunity, is we've got a link. It's a hot link, as they say. And when you go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, you'll find a button that says podcast with us, and you hit that button. It takes you right to our spot on iTunes where we are podcasting. And that makes it just easier for you to sign up. Now, the podcast is available for no cost. I mean, it's absolutely free. And we've taken all the guesswork out. There are gazillions of podcasts on iTunes. But when you go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button, it'll take you right there. And then you can start your free subscription to the Homeward podcast. And then that way, as Jim mentioned, you can dump it into your iPod or MP3 device, and you can take us with you wherever you go. And one of the things that people like about this listening on demand is, with the podcast, of course, you can manipulate when the audio is coming out. So if you want to listen to 5 minutes of it, and then you got to stop, and if you want to roll back and listen to something else, you get to control the flow there. And we make that available to you because of your prayers and faithful financial support, which allow us to do that. So produce the program, get it up on iTunes so you can listen to it for free. Check out our podcast today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.